What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker. And that means one thing and one thing only. I am your humble host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zoom, and coming to you here on May 21st, 2024. That's a Tuesday for those of you keeping tracks of things like that. Appreciate you all being here. Another episode of the Zoo Yorker, and I'd appreciate it even more if you guys hit that follow, hit that subscribe button so you're notified whenever these podcasts are dropping. And also, if you feel so inclined to, drop a 5-star rating wherever it is that you happen to be listening to this podcast. And, you know, that helps get more eyes on us. That helps other people understand what we are doing here on the Zoo Yorker. And I appreciate all of you for doing that and helping us grow as a community here. And another way, if you want to holler at your boy, if you want to get at me, if you want to let me know what you think about the Knicks, you got some opinions on what the hell the Knicks are doing this offseason, holler at me on the Twitter machine at ZooBeard77, because we're going to get right into that right now. Because all I have been seeing, outside of a little of some people, you know, giving some love to the team, shouting out everything they did this season and giving it all out there in the, you know, playoffs, outside of a couple of people doing that, the rhetoric around the New York Knicks is, do you keep OG Anunoby or do you keep Julius Randle? As if you only can keep one of them. I'm going to tell you right now, the Knicks should be in the business of trying to re-sign OG Anunoby. They should be in the business of trying to re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein. And the Knicks should absolutely not be in the business of trading Julius Randle this offseason. You don't just trade away a guy who's a 3-time All-Star, a 2-time All-NBA player, a man who has helped carry this franchise back from irrelevancy to where you are today, and is arguably your second best player when fully healthy. You cannot allow that guy to just leave. You can't trade him for just nothing, just to try to fit in another player into this system that you kind of think is better, that you might think is better, just because you think Julius Randle isn't that good. Julius Randle is that damn good. He's the reason that this team is where they are. He's the reason why they went out and brought in all the players that they did a couple of years ago and Kemba Walker and all those guys, and it failed. Julius Randle is the reason why the Knicks were blowing teams out by 20 points, 30 points in January after they made the OG Anunoby trade. If this team is fully healthy, the reason that people believe this team can make a run is because of Julius Randle. It's not because of Julius Randle's potential trade value to this team. You cannot, by any means, move this man for a bag of balls. You cannot move this man for anything less than all-star appearances coming back. And you should not have to attach picks to him unless you are going to trade for a guy like Giannis, unless you're going to trade for a guy like Jokic, unless you're going to trade for a guy like, I mean, even Donovan Mitchell. I wouldn't add very much to Julius Randle to get him here, because Julius Randle has at least shown me he can play in New York, and I know he can. And the Cavs are in the business of needing to trade Donovan Mitchell, so you don't add anything to them. They need to get rid of a depreciating asset, and that's not to say Donovan Mitchell is getting worse at basketball. That just means that the Cavs aren't going to be able to re-sign him, and everybody in the league knows that. So you're not going to hit them up with 4 first-round picks and Julius Randle. You're going to hit them up with Julius Randle and maybe a second rounder. You're going to hit them up with other types of trades. It ain't going to be that one. So let's just think about this. What's worth trading Julius Randle for? I just named it, because that's his value around the league. His value around the league isn't, oh, he stinks. Oh, he's not that good. Oh, you know, he's the problem with New York. Most people around the league believe Julius Randle is part of the solution for New York. And although there are teams that are monitoring the situation, which, I mean, who wouldn't, when you see all the type of propaganda going on around the Knicks organization, who wouldn't monitor the situation with Julius Randle? I mean, if I'm a GM, I'm trying to steal him off the Knicks right now. I'm trying to get the Knicks to say, oh, we don't need Julius. How good is Julius really? Because that's what is happening with most people after this Knicks run. Is they're going, how good is Julius? How good does Julius fit with this team? Would he make them worse? How would he make them worse is my question. He would take the pressure off of Brunson. In these moments where the team is just hucking up shots or DiVincenzo is just firing away from three, instead of just praying that those go down, Julius Randle would be out there giving you a guaranteed 20-plus points every single night. There are levels to this. Yes, the team looks really good without him, but you don't understand how much better they would look with him, because you're thinking that this team is something that they're not. They had to become this team that they played as in the postseason. They had to become this. They had to fit themselves together in a way in which they could play defense at that high of a level, keep themselves into games, and hope to God that they are able to hit enough shots to get themselves over the finish line, which did happen. You put Julius on that team, you're still getting the same level of defense, maybe slightly lower, but you're still getting a high level of defense with OG Anunoby on the court, with Hartenstein on the court, with Mitchell Robinson on the court. You're still getting an incredibly high level of defense from those guys. Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, whoever you end up sticking out there with them. You're getting a great level of defense and Hart off of those guys. Julius is a 20-10 guy, so he's not sitting there, not grabbing rebounds, just taking off like an Obi Toppin does to just go and get a fast break. He is sitting back, grabbing boards, bringing the ball up if necessary. He is everything that this Knicks team was missing in the playoffs. And now you want to go out and trade that guy? I mean, it's asinine. You have the player that fixes what happened to the Knicks in the playoffs already on the roster. He just happened to be injured. Why are we even talking about going out and trying to find somebody else? Why are we even talking about trying to get somebody better? There's somebody better to fill the situation than Julius Randle, when that, honestly, right now, that doesn't exist. And if you want to sit here and talk to me about Mikal Bridges, we can have a conversation about Mikal Bridges. I'm all about Mikal Bridges being a New York Knick. Mikal Bridges makes a lot of freaking money. And Mikal Bridges is a 3, maybe 4 in this league. And I'm talking about positionally. He's a 3 or a 4. And a 4 is really stretching it for him. So now you're going to have a team, right, that starts Brunson, DiVincenzo, my guy Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, and Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson at center. Now, I love the Villanova boys. I love me some Villanova. Well, I don't love me some Villanova, but I love these guys, especially Mikal Bridges. He was probably my favorite out of that group coming out of college. But I can't be sitting here and telling you that that team is better than if you put Julius Randle in there and have Josh Hart slide down to the 3. I can't sit here and tell you that that team is better, because I honestly don't believe that they are. And I think that losing height that Julius presents you, I think that losing that bully, that matchup demon for other teams on defense, hurts them. I don't think that bringing in Mikal Bridges would be the right move if you don't keep Julius Randle. Now, if you could tell me you can keep Julius and you can make that trade happen still with the Nets, I'm all for it. But I need to see Julius Randle in that starting five with Mikal Bridges in order for that starting five to actually be better than the one that the Knicks could potentially put out there next season if they stand pat. That's the thing that you have to look at with this team. What can they do if they go out and make a trade? And what can they do if they stay pat? I like the idea of sticking with this roster, making a couple of small tweaks, and going into next season ready to roll, giving these guys a shot. And if it's not working, if it looks clunky, if it looks rough for the first couple of months of the year, then guess what? You can go out and you can make a trade. And I know it's not going to be the same value, but there's going to be somebody out there who is disgruntled. There's going to be somebody out there that a team is looking to move that you're going to be able to potentially make a move with. And then you can consider trading a Julius Randle or whoever else might not be fitting into the system at that point in time. At that point, you do it. Or next offseason, you do it. But you don't do it right now when this team is clearly set up to make a run as is. They got robbed of their opportunity this year, and that's not why you give them a chance next year. That's not why you keep Julius around. Why you keep Julius around and why you give this iteration of the Knicks another chance to go at it is because they showed you in their brief time together that they can collaborate together, that they can work together, that they can win together. And they did it at a high level. And they inspired this team to do more than they probably ever could have dreamed of. I would not mess with this team chemistry right now and make a move of Julius. I just wouldn't. I think that would be a bad, awful step back for this team going into next season. I think they need Randle. I think they need everything that he brings to the table. And I think Julius Randle is the type of superstar that thrives here in New York. And we've seen it throughout his career. There's no reason to be getting rid of this man. There is absolutely no reason to get rid of Julius Randle. Unless it's just a thing where you're still looking back at the thumbs down, or you're still looking back at the Hawks series, or you blame him for them losing to the Heat last year on a bum ankle that he ended up having surgery on immediately after the playoffs were done. You might blame him for those things. But that ain't his fault either. And if you're still holding those grudges, well, brother, sister, you're not looking forward to the future. You have to look forward to what's up next. And what's up next is the Knicks. You saw what happened to them in the playoffs. They need another guy. They already have that other guy on their roster. That's what is being lost in all of this conversation, is Julius Randle is the man that they're looking for trades to make this team better. Julius Randle is already here. Why are you going to give up more to have a player that might not even be as good as Julius, whose chemistry might not work with this team as well as Julius, who players might not like as much as they like Julius? Why are you going to mess up all of that good juju that you have built up over the last 5 years? You're going to throw that into the wind because, oh, well, you know, the team kind of played better without Julius a little bit. I mean, we don't actually know that because we only saw them run off, you know, 10 wins in January with the whole team together. No, but we don't really know that. We don't really know how good they look with him. So we gotta go out. We gotta trade him. We gotta try to find a team who is going to give up a superstar, who is going to come to New York and step into this cauldron that they're about to step into. Because if you bring in somebody else, you bring in a mercenary right now, the fans are going to change how they view this team. They're going to change how they love this team. It's going to be a different type of love, but there's going to be expectations that are going to be through the roof. And that's going to happen anyway, but you want to make sure you know that you have a guy who can deal with the ups and downs of New York, and you do in Julius Randle. This man has been through everything here. You can't take the risk of bringing in somebody who's not going to be able to handle this. You can't bring in the risk of trading Julius Randle and not getting it right, and not getting the right person in here. Although I do trust Leon Rose supremely, when you are superstar trading, it is very hard to find teams that are, one, willing to trade a superstar, and two, can actually give you a superstar who is going to work with your team. I don't see how this is a good move for the Knicks. And it can't be. And they cannot do it. And I just want to squash it here. I know we're only 2 days after the elimination, but I just want to squash this right now. And I know we're going to talk about it a lot for the next 2 months still, even though I'm saying we got to squash it. We're going to still be talking about this a lot until, you know, the Knicks make a decision on him and make that public, or, you know, we get to free agency and moves start getting made and the Knicks are still with Julius Randle. One way or the other, this is going to be a conversation throughout the summer, but I just needed to get in front of it right now, and I just need to let everybody know Julius Randle is a New York Knick. He is one of the best New York Knicks that there has been in the last 10 years, and he is the missing piece to that playoff team that would have helped them go on a deeper, deeper, deeper run. And that's just a fact. You put Julius out there, Josh Hart doesn't have to start. Josh Hart can give OG some rest. OG's not playing 40-plus minutes a game. OG doesn't blow out his hamstring. There are all things right there. Julius takes over in those games where they get blown out by 30, and he keeps it tight in those moments where Indiana is breaking the Knicks back with threes. Julius is able to keep it tight because Julius is not afraid of those moments and just continues to shoot and continues to score because he is that damn talented. The Knicks have their superstar. That's Jalen Brunson. The Knicks have their Robin to that Batman in Julius Randle. Run it back. Don't mess around. Don't get cute. Do it. Leon, you know you have the right guy. Don't let people bait you into doing something stupid. The Knicks with Randle, the Knicks with Brunson are a team that makes a run next year. A team without Randle, well, you're just going to have to hope and wait. And then you'll see what they look like when they finally get there. I don't like the prospects of it, but that's the life of being a fan, I suppose, right? Hopefully the Knicks stick around with Julius Randle because that is the right move. And anything else, I think it spells disaster for this organization. About last night. Oof. Ow, baby. That was good. That was a good one. That was a good little singing moment right there for your boy. I'm feeling pretty excited right now. Nah, not at all, actually. What would I be excited about right now? My Mets suck. I mean, Jets open training camp soon. Yankees look really good. But there's nothing for me to really be too excited about. I mean, I finally sit down last night, 6 o'clock, going to watch a full Met game without having to turn the channel, without having to do any of that stuff, without having to run out and do a weekend errand in the middle of it. I finally am going to just sit down and watch the Mets and the Guardians and Tylor McGill return. And, well, the Mets did not disappoint. Come out in the first inning, immediately go down 2-0 with McGill on the hill. I mean, McGill looked rough to start, but he ended up getting it together. He gave up 2 earned runs, walked 2 guys, gave 4 hits, ended up striking out 7 in 5 innings of work. I like Tylor McGill. I think he's a good piece of this rotation, but you know what? You have to give him some run support when it's his return start. The guy went out there and gave up 2 runs. I mean, 3 total. There was an unearned run in there as well. So it's 3-1, and you guys can't come back. And the funny thing is I'm sitting there watching this game, and that's how I feel watching it. I feel like, oh, it's 3-1. The Mets aren't coming back in this. They're not going to have a chance in this. And they didn't. And I don't even know how to put that in words without cursing my brains out. But it's a disgrace that the New York Mets lineup cannot actually go out there and handle business. It's a disgrace that the New York Mets lineup consistently puts guys on base and never brings them home. It's a disgrace that this New York Mets lineup, with the perceived talent that it has, especially at the top, especially with the numbers that some of these guys are getting paid, including Brandon Nimmo. I mean, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with how bad this team is and how bad they're going to be the rest of the season. I'm watching J.D. Davis lace a double down the line to start the second inning, and all I can think of in my head is what are they going to be able to get for J.D. Martinez at the deadline this year. That's all that is coursing through my head in that moment. And that's pathetic. That's sad. But that's what this New York Mets team has done. That's what this front office has done. And I truly believe, and I mentioned this before, but I truly believe David Stern set this season up for failure so that he could come out and make the moves that he wanted to make and get this team set up the way he wanted them to be set up so he can clear contracts, so he can get rid of certain guys that don't fit his philosophy, and he can build from scratch in this offseason. I think this season was completely done to set up the offseason and for next year and to justify selling on Pete Alonso at the All-Star break. I think that's what this season was. Now, did he give them a puncher's chance? Sure. He went out, he brought in J.D. Martinez. Whoopity-doo. Great. He gave them a puncher's chance to maybe make the playoffs. And we're seeing right now the rest of the team around JD isn't good enough for them to make the playoffs. Martinez isn't the problem. The guy's hitting over 300 with a couple homers. You know, the problem is the rest of the lineup. The problem is Pete Alonso hitting 230. The problem is Francisco Lindor hitting 200. The problem is Brandon Nimmo not doing anything to consistently get on base like he used to at the top spot in this lineup. The problem is Brett Beatty sucks. They're just not good. They're not a good baseball team. And when you're not a good baseball team, it's going to come down to making moves at the deadline to potentially make yourself better in the future and hoping that you have young prospects that are going to show up and do work. And right now, the Mets' young prospects are not doing work. Brett Beatty looks terrible. Vientos keeps getting sent down every other day. I mean, unfortunately, Alvarez is hurt, but he will be back. And, I mean, Mauricio, same thing. He'll be back at some point, too. But then you look to the minors, and every single hitting prospect is having a less-than-average season, and that's putting it very nicely. You look at some of the pitchers, they ain't doing very much of anything. I mean, the cupboards are really barren for this Mets franchise. And I'm sure David Stearns thinks he's putting something together here. I think he thinks he's cooking. But, brother, you are not cooking right now. And this team is going to be drawing 15,000 people or less every single night once we get into late August and September. It's going to be a desolate wasteland at Citi Field once again. And, I mean, I'm saying that as if it's a shock to anybody that watches the Mets, but it is still a shame that this Steve Cohen era is going this way. There's only been truly one season where this team has been pushing and pushing and pushing to try to make the playoffs and do, and that was the 102-win year. Every other year has ended up being a complete and utter disaster and disgrace by the time we got to September. And, I mean, I want to believe in Stevie, but I don't think Stevie believes in whatever the hell he wants is trying to pump out there. I don't think Stevie believes in whatever the hell the philosophy is with this team, but you know what? We got a long, long summer to continue to dissect these Mets, and I'm not going to beat them to death today because we got to go check out those Yankees. And it was a gross one in the Bronx. Let's just say that. Yanks have a 4-1 lead heading into the ninth inning, and you know what time it is. It's Clay Holmes' time at that point. But Clay Holmes, not the best day. Not the best day for Clay Holmes. He comes in, ends up giving up 4 runs on just, I mean, some of the worst fielding you will see to score that first run with the error on Gleyber Torres. Another awful error on Gleyber Torres. He is probably the one person in this lineup that is preventing the Yankees from being perfect this year. He's probably the one person who is preventing them from being a perfect team this year. And then from that Gleyber Torres error went the rest of the game. He gave up 3 more runs. All of a sudden, it was a 5-4 lead for the Seattle Mariners. And good night, Irene. Clay Holmes blows a save, and that's something that if you're a Yankee fan, if you are a baseball fan, that you are not used to seeing anymore. You are used to seeing Clay Holmes come in and shut the door on pretty much any competition that he is going up against. So this was a bit shocking to me, and I think for most people, but it's not a death note on Clay Holmes. I mean, we saw, and you don't put everything onto one player because there were things that led up to that situation. But Gleyber Torres, make the play. You know, turn that double play and get out of the freaking, you know, get yourself in a good position. How is this guy constantly throwing balls away, misplaying balls in the field, and starting every single game with the average and offensive output that he is doing this year? It's pathetic. Aaron Boone has to sit this guy. He's got to sit this guy the same way the Mets needed to sit Joey Wendell, and I know they're not the same class of player, but those guys both need to sit their asses on the pine because they're costing this team games. And you can put this on Clay Holmes because it will be put on Clay Holmes. It will be his blown save. But this blown save belongs just as much to Gleyber Torres as it does to Clay Holmes. If you're a Yankee fan, yeah, you could want some more help in that bullpen because you could always use more arms in the bullpen. There ain't nothing wrong with going out and getting a team's closer at the deadline to help you out, or to go out and get a team's setup man to help you out at the deadline. You can always get stronger in the bullpen unless you have Mariano Rivera or Trevor Hoffman in the back of that thing. You can always be better. So, if you're a Yankee fan and you feel like you want to make trades, you know, come the deadline for relievers, I'm with you. I'm always with getting relief help. But you do not desperately need it. Clay Holmes is not a broken closer the way Edwin Diaz is a broken closer right now. Clay Holmes had a rough outing. I fully expect the next time we see Clay Holmes on the mound, him to lock down a ninth inning save or a ninth inning hold and get a win. Whatever it is, I expect Clay Holmes to come through big time for this New York Yankees team. Because you fail like this once, you ain't going to fail like this twice. And Clay Holmes knows that. Clay Holmes is enough of a professional and good enough as a baseball player that he will not allow it to happen twice. And I love the support that Marcus Stroman threw out to him. And he said, you know, Clay Holmes our guy. Clay Holmes our closer. Nobody I'd rather have back there. He tweeted that out, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's the type of stuff you like to see from guys on this team, is just coming out and having dudes' backs. And Stroman was set to get the W last night. He was set to get another win onto his record for this season, but it was not meant to be. Once Gleyber throws that ball in the outfield, it was not meant to be. And the Yankees go on to lose that one to the Seattle Mariners, 5-4. They continue that series here tonight, just as the Mets will continue their series versus the Guardians tonight. And just quickly, I wanted to touch on a little something else here. We saw at the Yankee game, there was one famous fan in attendance. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot more than that. It's the New York Yankees. But there was one famous fan that was given the airtime, the television time. And that was one Aaron Rodgers, starting quarterback of the New York Jets. And Jets, Giants got their OTAs started yesterday. You saw videos from both camps. You saw some interviews with guys from both camps. Giants getting their 100th season as a franchise started this year. There's going to be a lot of hype around that. There's going to be a lot of fun going on with the Giants this season. There's going to be a lot of different hype and a lot of different, hopefully, fun going on with the Jets this season as well. And they got OTAs going yesterday. You saw Aaron Rodgers dropping dimes to Garrett Wilson. You got to see a little DJ Reed action. You got to see all the players you know and love come out and do their damn thing. And you even got to see some of the new guys as well get down on that offensive line, although it's OTAs, so you're not really seeing them do anything special. You're just kind of seeing them move around as physical athletes right now. But this is a fun time. This is a fun time if you're a football fan, which I know all of you guys are. We got OTA started back up, which means we are that much closer to training camp, which means we are that much closer to getting rid of these preseason games, getting those done. Although I know there's value to them, and I definitely preach the value of preseason games, the fact that the league doesn't care about them enough makes me not care about them. So when I look at them, I just look at them for the people that are trying to make the team at number 53 on the roster rather than Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, just to put it in perspective a little bit. But we're that much closer to getting those games finished. We're that much closer to getting to week one and to seeing these teams get back on the football field and to have Sunday Ticket back and to have Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football and all that good stuff back into our veins. Oof! I can't wait. I love me some football, and it's always great to see the camps getting started, the OTAs getting started, and the teams start to really roll out there, and we're going to have a fun couple years. Like I said, we got Rodgers and the Jets looking to make a Super Bowl. Whether they do it or they fail and they burn out trying, you know what? We're going to be here covering it the whole way. Giants, 100th season. Daniel Jones. What the hell is Daniel Jones? What is Brian Daboll? I think we all know he's a great coach, but there are questions about Dabes after last season that need to be answered. There are questions about Joe Shane that need to be answered. Malik Nabers is now in the house. This is going to be a fun year. The Giants got the new red jerseys that I think, based on what Malik Nabers said in a video I saw on Twitter the other day, I'm not sure how much Malik Nabers is loving those Giants jerseys, and I don't know how much any of the fans are either, but we'll see when the jersey sales start coming out. Until then, though, Until then, we just got to sit here and we got to speculate. Now that we finally have some OTAs, we got some drills, we got comments coming out from these guys daily, we are going to be able to start diving into some football, baby. So make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button so you can be notified every time a new podcast comes up here, and appreciate you doing that. Love you all. If you want to say anything to me, hit me up on Twitter at ZooBeard77. Until next time, my friends, I must bid you adieu. Peace.